Isn't it good news that Jesus already won the battle for us? Whatever fight you and I fight every day, he already won the battle. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word is truth. It's perfect without any kind of error in it. Thank you for the teachings of Jesus. Help us learn through this series of messages how to pray and how to have a powerful life because of who you are. We love you, Father. There might be somebody watching me on Facebook or somebody here who says, you know, I never give my heart to Christ, but I need to do that today. We pray, God, that today your spirit would just prick that heart, that somebody be willing to surrender their all to you. And God, us believers, sometimes we get on the wayside and we just lose our passion for you. Help us regain that passion. You work us inside, God, so you can use us in a mighty way. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you brought your Bibles, I want you to please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew is the first New Testament book in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. Several years ago, Doreen and I were invited to a formal dinner. I'd never been to one of those before. So when we sat down at the table around people we did not know, and I looked at the place setting, I knew I was in trouble. And I looked at her, and I don't remember her reaction. I don't think she rolled her eyes, but I saw that there were four forks in front of me. There were two spoons, two different knives, and two real pretty glasses. And I whispered to her, I don't know what to do with all this. And I do remember that she said, the little one is for the seafood. I think that's correct. And so I didn't know any etiquette, but you know what? Place settings, they're important because the things you're going to use them for food. And so it's important that you know what to do if you go to a formal dinner with somebody. So I wanted to give you some do not do's when you go to a formal dinner, okay? Because I've been learning about some of the protocol of going to formal dinners. For one thing, do not put your elbows on the table. If you are at a formal dinner, do not go like this while everybody's talking. That's a no-no, okay? And when they present you with food, the salad usually comes first. Do not dig into that until everybody has been served. You know, you and I look at the plate and we like what we see and we want to dig into that. But according to proper etiquette of dinners, you can't jump in until everyone else starts or has been served. Also, whatever you do, don't speak with your mouth of food inside. Don't show your food. Don't laugh out loud. That's me. You know, somebody says something funny, and I don't care if I'm chewing. I just be like, so funny. You just don't show your food. Don't let people hear you chew. That's a big one. Don't let people hear you chew. Also, so that you never do this, don't put your napkin on the side with whatever junk came out of your mouth, you know, on the side. You're supposed to fold it and put it on your lap. Now, if you're like me, my napkin is always on the floor. It don't matter where I am. I'm like, where did it go? Does it happen to you guys? I'm like, where did it go? And then I got to lean over and look, you know, put it back on. So the napkin goes on your leg, okay? And whatever you do, this is a no-go, all right? Don't do this. If you're at formal dinner time, when you grab your glass, do not put out your pinky. Hear me now. Don't go, oh, this is so good. The pinky raising is considered rude in formal dinners. That's a freebie to you guys. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, proper etiquette. All right, well, Jesus, the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, gives us proper etiquette when we pray. Okay, this is part one of a two-part sermon on the proper etiquette of praying. It's easy for us to pray out of the spur of the moment because we need it, and that's good. Now, what Jesus is teaching us here is to have a certain discipline, to have these principles of prayer so that we have a positive, powerful prayer life along the way, okay? But there's going to be times when you have to do a prayer of help. You know what I'm saying, right? So the other night, Dorian and I faced almost a catastrophe. We lost our remote control to our TV. And you know how difficult that is when you don't have a remote control? It's like, oh no, the world's ending, right? And so I'm like, where's the controls? Well, nobody knew. And Dorian is like, I left them there. And so we start looking everywhere around. Couldn't find it. And I'm telling you, we looked for about maybe during 35, 45 minutes for this thing. We looked everywhere. We turned the couches around and whatever cushions and had to clean up because a lot of dirt everywhere. And we prayed. And then the prayer was something like, God, you know where the remote is. You see it. We don't know where it is. Help us find it. So we prayed, amen. And we looked for another 5 minutes. Couldn't find it. And we were tired. We went to bed. I unplugged the doggone thing. The next morning, when she gets up, I'm still in the bedroom. She gets up, and she finds it without even looking for it. Just like that. And to us, that was an answer to prayer. So there will be times when you and I are going to be like, God, help us. It's the moment. Prayer, boom. All right? Before you notice, I want you to write the word discipline on your first blank, because what God wants to develop in you and me is an everyday discipline of talking to Him. An everyday discipline of praying during our day. Okay? Matthew chapter 6 has the background of being on a mountainside. This is what is called the prayer or the teaching on the mount, the Sermon on the Mount. I've been there to that area. It's a beautiful, sloping mountainside, very tranquil, very peaceful. And Jesus is teaching a whole bunch of things to a whole bunch of people. And as you go there, the God will tell you, He probably sat in this particular place. It's pretty cool when you begin to imagine. So Jesus says this to His disciples, okay? And I'm in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says, when you pray, notice that He doesn't say if you pray, but when you pray, meaning you are going to pray. If you follow Jesus, you are going to pray. Prayer is your lifeline, y'all. And so Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, that is all the reward they will ever get. And those religious pompous rascals, what they did is they'll go to a place by the temple, making sure that there was a lot of people there, and then they will start praying out loud. And He called them hypocrites, and the word hypocrites comes from the theater, the Greek theater. And you may know this, the actors, if they were going to portray a certain emotion, they would, instead of, if it was a sad emotion, they, instead of going, oh, what they would do is they would take a mask and they would put a sad mask in front, so they would hide their face behind a sad mask. If it was a scene of anger, they would find an angry mask and they would hide themselves behind the angry mask. So say where they were pretending to be somebody in an emotion that they were really not. And so Jesus says, hey, these religious leaders, the people that pray so loud in the synagogues, they're just pretending to be really close to the Lord, but they're really not. All they're going to get is the praise of men, because when people would hear them praying, they'd be like, ooh, wow, oh, that guy must be so holy, right? So Jesus continues and He says, when you pray, verse 6, go away by yourself. Some of your Bibles read inner room. Go into your inner room, Jesus said. If you're going to pray, go into your inner room, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your private, who sees everything, will reward you. So, number one principle of prayer etiquette. Number one, from what we just read, pray alone and be open with God. Pray alone and be open with God. God. Jesus was not condemning praying in public. He wasn't condemning praying with everybody and somebody leading in prayer. No. But he was saying, hey, listen, if you want to develop a close walk with God, a close intimacy with the Lord, then go by yourself and communicate with him. And when you do that, it makes your walk with the Lord meaningful and special. Amen. Your inner room could be anywhere where you find yourself talking to God alone. Okay? Your inner room could be by your lazy boy, sitting on your lazy boy, or kneeling by your, that could be your inner room. Your inner room, some people have told me that they have prayer closets. You know, I'm guessing a walk-in closet. Okay? For some people, they like the idea of an inner room being in a closet and with God alone. You know? For some people, their inner room could be out in the porch. Looking out at your backyard or your beautiful pool, and hopefully you have a fan because we live in Florida. You're in the porch and you're under the fan, and it's like, oh, this is nice. Your inner room could be going for a walk around your neighborhood or going for a walk by the beach. I got a friend who loves to walk by the beach and have her time with God at the beach. It's cool. Your inner room could be your gym at home where you work out every day or every other day. You're alone with. Your inner room could be your car. You know how much time we spend in the car? For some people, driving around could be the inner room because we could be talking to God while we're driving. Jesus is just telling us, hey, listen, wherever you are, it's not important. What's important is that you and I, that you spend time with God alone, with nobody around. For your notes, write this down. Prayer is a big part of a healthy, organic father/child relationship with God. It's an intimate thing. I went to a food mart the other day, a while back, a mini mart. It's one of those places where you put gas in the car and you can also buy a drink if you want, or a hot dog or whatever people like to eat in those places. And this was owned by an Indian, people from India. And before I paid, the lady's doing something. I'm looking around, and I noticed that she had set up a little shrine, a little altar behind the counter by a window. And this little altar has this little figurines, Hindu-looking figurines. And the little place that she had set up was to burn incense. And there were burnt marks on the place where she had burnt incense. And I just couldn't get that out of my mind. And, you know, according to the Huffington Post, Hinduism worships something like 33 million gods. And when I walked out of there, I thought, how sad, and I felt how impersonal the religion, and how hopeless for her. Because when you're a Christian, and this is for your notes, please. When you're a Christian, when you're a child of God, you have a one-on-one interaction with your Maker. It's not something that somebody put together, something that somebody created. No, no, no. You have a one-on-one relationship with God. Fellowship with the Lord. For your notes, write this down. Good, open communication develops intimacy between you and God. And so I think the first etiquette of prayer, what Jesus is saying here, you go alone with God, and then you tell God how you feel. You tell God your frustrations. You tell God your mind. You tell God your good times. You tell God your hopes and your dreams. I believe the reason why there's so many Christians out there who are not enjoying an incredible life, where they're seeing the God move, where they're seeing answered prayers, where they're seeing God doing miracles. A lot of people of God, they live such a drag kind of a Christian life. And the reason for that, I think, is because they may come to church on Sunday mornings, any church on any given Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, there is no connection between them and God. The communication is just not there. That's a problem. That's what makes church a drag on Sunday mornings. That's why a person may be looking at the preacher and say, how long are you going to keep doing this? You know, because they maybe from Monday through Saturday have not been carrying on a good, solid, awesome relationship with God. So they come to church and yeah, the music, okay, it's cool. And then the preacher, okay, whatever. And they just can't wait to get out of here. They're indifferent towards God Monday through Saturday. So Sunday becomes a difficult thing. They're dead to God. And I think for many Christians, they have this mistaken idea. They're going to go to church and the pastor is going to be like a spiritual defibrillator. You know, these people are dead to God. And pastor, they think, is going to come in and be like, yeah, boom. Oh, boy, I can see that y'all are having such a weak time. Oh, come on, people. Revive. Get up. Clear. Boom. Ah. Oh, that was better. So it made me think of a frog that I shared with you all some time back, okay? This is the Alaskan wood frog. Do I have it? Did I put it in there or no? Did I forget it? Oh, there it is. This is the Alaskan wood frog, okay? And the fascinating thing about this guy is that in the dead of winter, he's dead. Two-thirds of his life, meaning his heart stops beating, his blood stops flowing, his eyes turn white, he doesn't blink, his brain stops every activity, and his lungs are not functioning all winter long. When the temperatures begin to warm up, he thaws out, his heart begins to beat again, his lungs begin to get filled with air. He begins to blink again. And his brain starts working again. And he just hops away like nothing ever happened. It's insane. So this guy gets iced. So it made me think about iced Christians. If you're like not having a connection with God, you're iced. And I did a... what do they call them, an acronym? I did an acronym for the word ICE. It's not on your nose, but if you're an ICE believer, you're an idle Christian experiencing dullness. That's all you are. You're just idle and you're just dull. It's all get out. So you got saved, you got baptized, you go to church on Sunday. I'm not talking about you necessarily, okay? But I'm saying people who believe in Christ, they get saved, they get baptized, they may attend church every Sunday morning, but they're ICE. They need to thaw out. How do you do that? I think you recommit yourself to the Lord by doing this. For your notes, write this down. Look for more of God every day. Did you hear me? Look for more of God every day. You hear a bird chirping? God. You see a storm coming? God. You get green light so you're not late for a meeting? God. You have something really good to eat? God. Because he allows us to have all that food that we like to eat. See, I think the way we get reconnected is when we begin to see God all around. We're here in church Sunday morning. God allowed us to be here. So somehow, some way, begin to see God in the ordinary. And check out what Jesus said. We read it. Verse 6, he said, then, you know, when you really begin to get along with God and you open your heart up to God and tell him others, then Jesus said, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Notice how he didn't say, your God who hears you talk. It's not what he said. He didn't say, your Father who hears what you're saying. No, he said, the one who sees you. Rewards you. What's he seeing? He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your thoughts. He sees all of you having a desire for him. He rewards you. That's etiquette number one. Everybody with me, say amen. Amen. Number two, be yourself. Here's etiquette for prayer. Be yourself. And by that, I mean be short, clear, and simple when you talk to God. Jesus said, verses 7 through 8 of Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. I want to tell you something. God's not impressed with Sunday morning words. God's not impressed with religious verbosity. There's something in Puerto Rico we call papagayo. A papagayo is somebody who talks a lot but says nothing. God says, I don't want any papagayos in my family. Don't be going on and on and on saying absolutely nothing. Just be short, be yourself, be simple. For Jesus said, God knows exactly what you're going through before you even tell him. Now, true be that. Sometimes we're facing a very difficult, no-win situation. We don't know what to say. It reminded me of the time that I went to see, talk to this lady across the fence. And so I'm approaching her. I was going to talk to her about God a little. And I see that there's a big, muscular Doberman dog next to her. And that sucker stood about this high. Okay? And so I'm approaching her to the fence. And like, hey, how you doing? And the dog starts growling and showing me his teeth. And the lady said, stop. Don't come any closer. She said, I cannot control this dog. And the only thing that was separating us was about a 4-foot fence. And I stopped. And I said, hey, God bless you. And I walked the other way. And I saw her again later. I talked to her about the Lord later on. But I just never left my mind that she said, I cannot control this dog. I want to tell you, you sometimes and I face situations that we cannot control. They're beyond our handle. And yes, we talk to God again and again and again over the situation because we don't know what we're going to do. And God says, yes, come to me again and again and again. God's saying yes, but don't just keep repeating yourself again and again and again and again and the same prayer. No, no, no. God's saying, yeah, come to me because I know where you're coming. And I'm going to take care of you. So when you go to God in prayer, get by yourself. And be open with God and tell him how you feel. Just be yourself. Number three, quick etiquettes here for prayer. Start your prayer with words of praise. Start your prayer with words of praise to the Father in heaven. So Jesus says, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. He's given us principles, right? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, we never use the word hallowed. We just don't use that, okay? Hallowed means pure, means honored, means respect. It means that God is different. God is separate than we are. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways anyway. And so God is completely holy. And so Jesus says, hey, when you begin to pray, praise God because he is your Father in heaven and his name is hallowed. He is pure. He is awesome. So what he's telling us is this, y'all. When you pray, don't be talking to God like, yo. Bruh. Did you see what happened? He's not my bruh. Now, we have a great relationship with my Father, right? But I can be talking to him like, yo. No. And, you know, he's not the man upstairs. I hear people, oh, the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He is the God who rules from heaven and on earth. That's who he is. And all Jesus is telling us here is like, hey, listen, address God with the respect that he is the God of heaven. So when you talk to him, according to Jesus, tell him, Father, this is not necessarily a prayer to be repeated. You know, I know people like to repeat this prayer. In fact, I was leading a group one time, and I thought, maybe I'll just, while I'm praying, I thought, I'm going to pray the prayer. So I began, Our Father, and everybody started with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I forgot the rest. And I'm like, everybody came. The people who knew the prayer continued, but I totally forgot it. This is not a prayer that God necessarily intended for us to be praying verbatim. But he's just telling us that God is our Heavenly Father, powerful as he is, and he is holy. Now, saying all that, I want to say this for your notes. The intimacy with God that Jesus gave us through his death on the cross allows us to call him Dad. We can call him Dad. He is like a daddy in heaven, a good dad. This is a great, incredibly revealing passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. This is what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul is writing. He says, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children. Those are sons and daughters. So all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, he says, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now we call him Abba Father, and that means daddy. That's the way a child would refer to his dad, okay, his father, Abba Father, daddy. Now we can call the Father in heaven daddy, Abba Father. Verse 16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So let me break that down real quickly. So Jesus, inspiring Paul to write, he says, hey, listen, don't be afraid of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The word fear here, when it says you have not received the spirit of fear that makes you fearful slaves, it's a very strong word of being afraid. It's the word phobia, from where we get our English word phobia. See, he's saying don't have a phobia of God. People have a phobia of what? Clowns. We've talked about that. And I've told you that I put a picture of a big old clown on the screen one time, and there was a woman back there where my son-in-law is sitting, and she started crying because she had a phobia of clowns. How would I know that? So I found a few phobias. Maybe you're one of these people, right? There's a phobia called omphalophobia, and that is a phobia and a fear of belly buttons. Is that crazy? Fear of belly buttons. For real? And then there's another phobia, arachibutyrophobia. Arachibutyrophobia. And that is the fear that peanut butter is going to get stuck in the top palate of your mouth. If you have a fear, a strong fear that when you eat a peanut butter sandwich, it's going to stuck in the top of your mouth, then you are suffering from arachibutyrophobia. One more. There's a phobia called hippopotamostroskipedrophobia. And that is the fear of long words. I'm not making this up. So if you have a fear of long words, then you have hippopotamostroskipetrophobia. So the Lord Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you don't have to be afraid. When Jesus saves you, you're not afraid of God. Why? Because he says here in what we read, he adopted you as his own child. This is not on your notes, but in the book of John chapter 15, Jesus said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So listen, if you're a born-again child of God, guess what you're sensing and understanding and loving? The fact that God says, I chose you. I chose you. Oh, I chose you. Oh, I chose you guys. Yeah, I chose you. I chose you. That's what God said. And he adopted us into his family. He loves you and me so much that he's like, hey, listen, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And so he adopted us. And then to boot, Jesus said through Paul, he said, hey, listen, we are children, then we're heirs, because we are heirs of God's glory, meaning you have received a huge, big inheritance from God. You have an inheritance from God that will never, ever go away. You're a child of God. Heaven belongs to you. And all the riches that God has created for you. Somebody say amen. For your notes, calling God dad or father calms your fears. Call him dad. Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. Dad, I'm losing sleep over this, God. Dad, father. Next, for your notes, calling God Father reminds you that you're never alone. Listen, if you suffer from loneliness, understand you're never alone. God is always with you. He promised he would never, ever leave you. Praise the Lord. And then, when you pray, calling God Father or Dad gives you hope when you're in the jam. You're in a jam. Dad! He's there. He knows what's going on. Father in heaven reminds us that God is creator, ruler, and sustainer. Thank you for that one cat that said amen. Let me say that again. Wait a minute. Let me say that again. When you pray, you're speaking to a Father in heaven who is God, creator, ruler, and sustainer. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The Blackwood Brothers, I think this is before my time, but the Blackwood Brothers used to sing a song that went, we've got a great, big, wonderful God, a great, big, wonderful God, a God who's always victorious, always watching over us, a great, big, wonderful God. And the Lord deserves our respect. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not on your notes, but Joshua 2:11 says, the Bible refers to God as the God of heaven above and earth below. And when King Solomon was getting ready to build the temple of God in Jerusalem, great, big, amazing temple of God, full of gold and beauty, he said this word, 2 Chronicles chapter 2. He said, no one can really build a temple for God because even all the vastness of heaven cannot contain him. Did you hear me? The king said, I'm building a temple, but not even the vastness of all of heaven contains who God is. How enormous God is. I'm reading a book right now called A Million Little Miracles. A Million Little Miracles by Mark Batterson. And he writes this. I want to quote him. He says, astronomers now estimate the existence of more than 2 trillion galaxies, only 2 of which are visible from the northern hemisphere, the Milky Way and the Andromeda. Each of those trillion galaxies has an average of 100 billion stars. He says, do the math, and it adds up to 200 sextillion stars in the observable universe. That's 25 trillion stars per person on planet Earth. I was at the pool the other day, and I began to feel the rays of the sun hitting my shoulders. And I remember something I read from the same book. I read that if you get into a rocket and head towards the sun that God made, and you're traveling at 500 miles per hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 500 miles an hour, you will reach the sun in over 20 years, okay? And the sun is spewing out light to us. And remember, it was God who said, let there be light. And the light comes down to earth at a rate of 186,383 miles per second. And that means that the rays of sun that were hitting my shoulder got to me from the sun in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. That's a great, big, powerful God right there. Jesus said, if you're going to pray to God, not if, when you're going to pray to God. When you pray to God, remember, He is the God of heaven. And He is holy. And you address Him that way. So, I was thinking about how am I going to close this out? So, I was praying that God gave me an illustration, and I started looking at all the books I've read, and I came across this illustration. I wrote it down in my manuscript, and I've been hanging on to that until this morning when I was getting ready for church. I remember a verse of the Bible, and this is how I'm going to close. A verse of the Bible that comes from the little book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. It says this. The Lord is in His mighty temple. Let the whole earth be silent before Him. And He's not talking about the temple of Israel. He's talking about His creation, where He dwells, where He rules from His throne in heaven. The Lord our God is in heaven. Let the whole earth be silent before Him. And that made me think of this. This is for your last blanks, okay? When you talk to God, praise Him, and then be silent before Him. Here I am, God. What do you have to say to me? You know, silence makes people nervous sometimes. But the Lord is in His mighty temple. And we need to be silent before Him. Wow. Prayer etiquettes. Jesus said, hey, you got a dad in heaven. Your daddy. He's holy. He's perfect. But He loves you. And He chose you. And He adopted you into His family. Jesus is saying, be yourself with Him. Talk to Him like you would talk to your best friend. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are in awe of Your greatness. From the stars in the heaven to that little frog You made that dies in the winter and comes back to life in the summer. What a great God You are. We don't understand a whole bunch of things, God. We don't have the answers for a whole bunch of questions. But we know that You rule in majesty and splendor. And we bow before You. We praise You, God. Blessed be Your holy name. Help us during the week find times alone with You, Lord God Almighty. Just times alone where we can just open up to You. Lord God, these people showed up at church today. You had a reason. I don't know what that is. Other than You want us to praise You. Right now, I ask You, in the name of Jesus, all of us who are here, if you're a child of God, just consider who He is and how great He is. And just yield yourself once again to Him. And if you're not a child of God, you're sitting here, maybe you're watching me on Facebook. Listen, This incredible God of yours sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins, so that you can have his power and his company and his blessing now and after you die when you get to heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun altogether. If you would like to ask Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, right now, I surrender my life to you. I may not have all the answers, but I believe that you are who you are. And I am a sinner, and I thank you that Jesus died for me on the cross. And right now, I ask the Lord Jesus to come inside my heart and save my soul. And I promise I'm going to do my best to follow you. Thank you for listening to me. With every eye closed, nobody looking around, if you just ask Jesus to come inside your heart, be your Savior first time, you raise your hand, put it back down up. Just want to pray for you, that's all. Anybody here, just want to pray for you. Maybe you ask Jesus in your heart, watching me on your computer. Send us an email so we can send you a Bible or we can connect with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this special time together as believers. It's been a great time of worship, celebration, time in scripture, time in prayer. What a great time. Father, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being there all the time. And thank you for being such a loving, intimate friend. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, gang, thank you so much for taking notes and following along.